Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Now, as you know, probably, we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we've got two really interesting ones. Here is the question that came in just recently. Can someone have everlasting life who holds to universalism? Now, the second question we're going to deal with on today's show is related. It's this. Did Jesus die only for his friends? Those promise to be quite an interesting discussion. By the way, if you'd like to hear Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar discuss your questions, you can send them to us at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions today. Here's a question from David. And David says, my question is, can someone have everlasting life who holds to universalism, i.e. that everyone is saved because Jesus paid for everyone's sins?
Okay, I think David is asking a question that can be understood in two different ways. If he's asking, could a person be born again who later comes to believe in universalism, the answer is absolutely. Right?
Uh-huh.
In other words, a person can come to the belief and the persuasion that simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has everlasting life, and he will never lose it. He's secure forever. And then later, he could depart and believe in universalism.
Right.
No, you don't have to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. He could believe in Buddhism, Hinduism. He could become an agnostic, an atheist. Any departure is possible that God allows.
Yeah.
But I think what he means, then, wouldn't you think, Sean, is could a person who believes in universalism, at the time he believes in universalism, believe in Jesus and be born again? So
yeah.
He believes that he's saved by faith in Christ, apart from works, but yet everybody else is too.
Right, so he believes either everyone already will get eternal life, or they'll all believe and be saved, but everyone's going to be saved. But he knows he has everlasting life because he's believed in Jesus for it.
But it's not necessary because he was going to get it anyway. Everybody was going to get it.
Right.
Isn't that his question? But isn't he asking at the moment of faith? Well, my answer would be, it seems to me that's antithetical to believing what Jesus said. Jesus repeatedly said, for example, John 5:39-40, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me,
yeah. But
you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Jesus is clearly saying that life is only in him. And you find the same thing, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes
sure.
to the Father but
sure,
by me.
Sure.
And so if you think somehow you've got this pluralistic idea that we find in postmodernity, that something can be true for me and something different can be true for you. What's true for me is I believe in Jesus and I have everlasting life, but what's true for you is you believe in Buddha and you have everlasting
life. Well, okay, all right, so let's say that version of universalism. You say you couldn't believe that and be saved.
It seems to me you couldn't, because you're not believing then that Jesus is the sole source of everlasting life.
Now, a lot of universalists do believe that Jesus is the sole source, and they just say he justifies the world, he gives his life for the world, he takes away the sins
okay.
of the world. So Jesus gives everyone everlasting
okay.
life, whether they believe in him consciously now or
okay,
not.
Okay, you're raising a good point. But, for example, Brennan Manning, who wrote the, what was it called?
Ragamuffin Gospel
and the Signature of Jesus or something. But anyway, the Ragamuffin Gospel was one of his famous ones. He was a universalist, but he did believe that everyone is going to be saved because of the shed blood of Christ.
Uh-huh.
It had to be because of Christ.
Yeah, it's not because of Buddha or Muhammad or
and
whatever.
They all came through Christ.
Yeah.
But they don't need to believe in him in this life. You know, they'll believe in him eventually.
Yeah,
yeah. But the thing is, Manning never articulated that simply by faith in Jesus a person has everlasting life. So he's not quite like what this person is, David is asking.
Okay.
What he's asking is, could a person believe both of those things at the same time, right?
Mm.
That I have everlasting life by faith in Christ apart
yeah.
from works, which Manning didn't believe that about himself. He thought that, you know, everybody was going to get in and that God was gracious and the blood of Christ was going to bring everyone into the kingdom. But could I believe that and at the same time believe everybody's going to get in? I think there could be a universalist who would say, Everyone is, the only way to have everlasting life is to believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And everybody will eventually.
Right.
So they believe in post-death, post-mortem conversions. Post-mortem faith. In that view, you would say, no, you only get in by faith in Christ, but you can get in by faith in Christ after you die.
Yeah. And you'd say that's wrong.
I'd say not only is it wrong, but it seems to me it still is rejecting the plain point that Jesus is making. For example, in John 11:26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the statement about I am the life.
Yeah.
He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, the living and believing are two present participles that are connected by the word and or chi.
Yeah.
The point is you have to be a living person and believe in Jesus to have everlasting life, to never die. There's no such thing as a dead person who believes in Jesus who gets everlasting life. You have to believe in Jesus in this life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't somehow die and then you're going to believe in him at some point in the future.
Do you have to understand all that in order to be born again? Can you be wrong about that? Can a universalist be wrong about postmortem conversion? Is that like a barrier to being born
again? Okay, see, here's the thing. These hypotheticals are mind-numbing.
They're dangerous.
They are dangerous. Here's what I would say. If your clarification of David's question or extension of his question, is it possible that a person could believe by faith in Jesus, apart from works, they have everlasting life? And that's true for everybody.
Yeah.
You have to believe in Jesus to have everlasting life, and yet also believe in universalism. I suppose that's possible. But it seems to me once you say there's post-mortem conversions, people mm-hmm. born again after, you've now denied the fact that it's simply by faith in Christ, at least in this life.
Yeah.
Well, you've obviously denied that.
Yeah, it's true that you can believe in this life if you live and believe, and you'll.
Yeah.
But it's also true if you die and then you believe, is what they could argue, I suppose. I don't know.
I guess what I'd want to say is, although I do not think that such a person exists, at least with clarity that they believe that by faith in Jesus they have everlasting life and they're a universalist.
Yeah.
I suppose hypothetically there could be such a person. You've raised it. And if there are, I suppose they might be born again. But I would say that person is wildly confused.
Yeah.
And they need to be taught. And it's quite probable that they're not yet born again.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking somehow there's another way.
Yeah.
And, of course, most universalists don't think the way you just described. Most universalists would say, simply by virtue of the atonement, everybody's given everlasting life. You don't need to come to faith in Jesus. You're just given everlasting life when you die, if you haven't gotten it while you're alive.
Yeah.
But in any regard, I think part of the problem with these things is I would say if you know such a person, well, then clarify their thinking.
All right.
Was that a good answer or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, the simple thing is if you believe in Jesus for everlasting life, then you have
it. Then you've got it.
All right, that's the bottom line.
And if a person's asking how much confusion you have and still believe that, I don't know.
I don't know. But if you believe that, you have it because that's what Jesus promised. And all the rest of this, I guess, really complicated. But if you don't believe that, you don't have it. Or, you know, if you've never believed that, you don't have it.
Right.
Okay. Here's Dale. Question from Dale. In John 15:13... Jesus says he died for his friends. But in verse 14, it says we are his friends if we keep his commands. Does that mean if we aren't his friends, Jesus didn't die for us? Does that mean lordship is true? Okay, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So that's Jesus saying this is an example of love. You die for your friends.
Now, he's not talking about himself there.
He's just saying, morally speaking, this is what love looks like.
Right. I think what he's saying is the greatest aspect of love is you lay down your life for your friends.
Okay.
Now, Jesus did lay down his life for his friends.
Right. So that's the next. He says, you are my friend. Yeah, right. Okay. And Jesus died for the world.
But he died for everybody.
Right.
So to say that Jesus died for friends does not exclude the fact that he died for his enemies, too.
His enemies, yeah. Good point.
And he died for all those who don't even know about him or don't care about him.
Right.
He died for everybody. And so we shouldn't think that somehow because he did die for friends that he died for all. But he is right. If we do not walk in obedience to Christ, which is basically walking in the light and confessing our sins, 1 John 1:7, 1 John 1:9, then we're not friends of God. And by the way, we're told, for example, that Abraham was a friend of God.
That's right.
And that's the greatest appellation you can give of a person, to be a friend of God, or David, a man after God's own heart.
Right.
That's what we want to be, as friends of God. So, I'm right with, is it Dale? I'm right with the question.
All right. So to answer his question, does that mean if we aren't his friends, Jesus didn't die for us? No, that's not what it means. Jesus did die for his friends, but he died for everyone else too.
Right. That's the correct answer.
And also, when Jesus is talking about love, is dying for your friends, he's not talking about the cross specifically. He's telling us as disciples what it means to love others.
Yeah, the greatest love is laying down your life for your friends. And it's true of Jesus, of course, but it's also true,
because he's our example of love.
Right. But if you lay down your life for your kids.
Sure. Sure.
Or you lay down your life for your spouse, or you lay down your life for your best friend. Well, that's an expression of divine love.
Right.
Let me ask you, Sean, what's going on with our national conference? It was supposed to be in April. We just had our national conference in October.
It was postponed from April to October.
And so now the 21 conference is supposed to be April. Is it still on for April, or are we going to a different date?
Well, we took a poll, and I believe we've decided we're going to stick with April.
April Capel Bible Fellowship.
But then to accommodate the people who can't make it in April, we're going to do our first ever Dallas Regional in October.
And it'll be a Friday and Saturday in October, and we'll let everyone know.
Yeah, dates to be announced. So we're going to do two things in Dallas in 2021. We're going to have the national during the weekdays in April, and then we're going to do a regional in October, and hopefully that'll serve the most amount of people.
And the national conference is called Genesis the Beginning.
We hope to see you there at the conference, and you'll be able to watch them online at YouTube or GES Vids.
Yeah, we're going
to
live stream.
We'll live stream it, and then the videos will be available there. And, of course, you can see the videos from previous conferences there, or you can buy them from previous years at our website at faithalone.org. So please go to faithalone.org/events in order to follow along with future conferences.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about pornography. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.